And welcome to Red Pill Nation Hangout number 5. Although he's on, he seems to be incognito at the moment. I will. There you are.
Yeah, told you.
Okay, we're
take her something.
Yeah. Okay. Well. Yeah, we're on. We're on. We're live. With zero viewers at this point.
Yeah, that's to be expected. That's fine.
Yeah, okay. All right. So, believe this is the first hangout of the year, is it not? Or did we do one later? No, we did one earlier this year, didn't we? On the 3rd?
We did not.
So this is the first hangout of the year then. Yes, it is the first hangout of the year. Welcome to 2018, folks. It was I'm expecting it for it to be a quiet year to start out with. And one of the things that happens during the quiet phase is people load up, and I'm starting to see a trend emerge. Okay. with the regressives.
Okay, and that is?
That is just like last year when they did the Million Woman March and Ashley Judd went on TED and a couple of SJWs like publicly announced, well, we're going to do this, we're going to do this. Mm-hmm. At, I think it was the Golden Globes, although my TV watching has really gone down in the last few years. Suddenly, Oprah is the new dream presidential candidate for presidency in 2020.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
fair I enough. Personally don't I've think she's going to win. Sorry, repeat that.
This is what I've also been seeing as well too. If I can just pipe in, she's very well spoken. She's an actress, or she's done acting work. So she knows how to play a crowd. Can we agree on that?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, she can play a crowd.
Okay. All right. So when you're... when you're attending a ceremony celebrated basically by the regressive left, for the regressive left, and you're going to project yourself to represent the regressive left, what do you think is going to happen? You're just in a great big, pardon my wording here, just in a great big fucking echo chamber. You're preaching to the choir.
Oh, of course. I can imagine.
Okay. Now, I think that we can agree that Oprah can do no wrong in their eyes.
I think we're, you saw the argument on my thread.
It's an argument that really didn't go very far either way. One person thought you were crazy. You tried to convey your thoughts or feelings about it, and it just, there's a disconnect between the two of you, and that's fine. Pardon me, that's fine, and that's how things go. I'm guessing that an individual is a woman of color.
Yes, it is. She keeps on this particular thread, she just kept insisting that Oprah has nothing to answer for, and that she somehow magically escaped all of the debris that happened over the Weinstein issue. And of course, the photo that I put up at my personal Facebook page, I mean, it was a little inaccurate. I probably shouldn't have thrown in, this is Oprah offering up a sacrifice to Harvey Weinstein. Cause I mean, I don't personally get that vibe of Oprah, that she's that type of person.
Well,
that being said.
Okay, well, maybe not. I don't honestly know. Maybe she was...
Here's the thing.
Okay, go ahead.
Oprah was the one back in the 80s that was one who really drove this whole pedophile feminist agenda. Like, she was one of the first ones that jumped on board. She was the one who took it and just ran with it. That's what made her so popular. I remember watching TV in the 80s, and it would be like, and if you even recall Married with Children, I mean, Al Bundy, you know, made frequent jokes about Oprah.
Okay, I don't remember that. I loved the show. And I would look back on it now, and I would watch it, and I would probably laugh my ass off at it, because that was really the only divergence. Well, what I loved about the show is that it was more realistic, because there was family infighting. The wife wanted some, the husband's just kind of going, oh God, she was great 20 years ago. And that was 20 years ago. I don't want to do this anymore with her. And the siblings were fighting each other. Kelly and Bud Jr.? I can't remember his name.
Bud Jr., yeah, Bud Bundy.
Yeah, Bud Bundy, and, you know, the whole bit. It was more, to me, at the time, I saw Married, with Children, as being a much more realistic family sitcom than the shining example of The Cosby Show.
How ironic is it? I mean, we're kind of getting off topic here, but how ironic is it that Bill Cosby is the one that got accused of raping all those women? And,
well,
Al Bundy. Al Bundy is like, I mean, he's just carrying on. There's some really weirdly prophetic stuff. I mean, he referenced Oprah Winfrey frequently.
Mm-hmm.
In that show, Al Bundy did. And it's like at one point, I remember this one episode where he was like watching, he's trying to get this one record. And the DJ at this record store has every single song memorized except for the one. And at one point, Al goes, please do something to convince me that you're not a fat black woman.
Well, George, that would be an oh my.
Yeah, and just like that, the song comes up on the radio, and it's like, it's that song. It's, oh yeah, it's over here. And of course, they take it home.
Yeah.
And Kelly Bundy's new boyfriend, who is actually the guy who played Joey on Friends.
Really?
I can't remember his name. He breaks the record in the last scene of the show.
Matt LeBlanc.
After Al made all that effort to try and get the recording of that song. It was
Matt LeBlanc, I believe.
Yeah, Matt LeBlanc. Yeah. But yeah, there was like another episode. And this one, again, I mean, you would never be able to do Married with Children now. I mean, you might be able to do it on YouTube, but I don't think, or you might, if you got an small independent cable network, you might be able to do it. And if they did it, they would move a show like Married with Children now. It would probably do quite well, given how politically correct the media is. But there was one episode where they all went camping, and they made this joke about women's periods all being simultaneous, synchronized.
Yeah, no, it does happen. It does.
Oh, it does happen. Same thing with alarm clocks, with chime clocks in a store, or taps in a restaurant. They all synchronize. I think wait a second. Maybe it wasn't that episode. But anyway, the women were all fighting and arguing amongst themselves. And at one point, Al says, there's only one moment in the whole, there's only one moment in this whole weekend where you stopped arguing with each other. It was the hour that Oprah Winfrey was on, which is funny because we don't actually own a TV. We don't have a TV here in the campground.
Okay, now.
Yes.
Since you've brought this topic up, I've got to go with the predictions that Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons, prophesized and things have come true.
So which ones?
Well, apparently, on The Simpsons, Trump was going to win 2016. There are a couple of other things. Oh, Disney was going to buy 20th Century Fox. Those are the two things that come to mind right off the top of my head. And it was basically kind of played out for, well, it was played up, played out, whatever the case may be, but there was some degree of accuracy to it. So I'm not surprised with... I wouldn't be surprised if Matt Groening had some influence on the script of Married with Children.
Maybe. We're talking early 90s here.
Well, like I said, Groening had predicted Trump was going to win the presidency. Anyway, let's move on.
Anyway, going back to that thread, and this is primarily what we're going to be discussing, the thread. Mm-hmm. When we started the discussion, it was sort of like, well, no, this woman of color said that Oprah has nothing to answer for. And it's like, you don't seem to get it. You know, she's going to enter politics. She is going to have to answer for this. She is going, nobody in Hollywood got away from what happened with Harvey Weinstein intact. And she says, well, she tried to minimize.
She's downplaying
Harvey. She was downplaying it. So I went on Google and I.
You posted 18 pictures of her cuddling up with Weinstein in one form or another.
Yep. And then, of course, the White Knight stepped in and goes, well, you know, well, he was associating with Donald Trump, too. So I went on, Googled Trump with Weinstein. Three photos, and it's all the same photo. Basically, it's a stock photo, probably done with the local photographer for the local social rag. Took a photo of Trump and Weinstein together just so that he would have something to put up.
Mm-hmm.
At his publication, his or her publication. Yeah, right. And that was it. There was just three. Like, they're not even close. And then, of course, it was sort of like, well, oh, so women have to answer, but men don't. And it's sort of, well, no, men, maybe you're not up on recent events, but scores of men have had to answer for their misdeeds in the past few months. In fact, Michael Douglas just got accused today.
Actually, I did just see that, too, and I'm thinking to myself, well, to me, this is the fallout that you're talking about in Hollywood that there's going to be. I have to say that this whole thing with the Me Too movement, and apparently now, well, according to InfoWars, Oprah has taken over the Me Too movement, so it'll be interesting to see what happens here. And personally, when it comes to Hollywood, I don't care. I don't give a fat rat's ass. Whether it's Oprah's big black ass or some other white woman's big black ass or an Asian or a Native American or Hispanic. I don't care.
I really
don't care. What happens over there? What happens over there happens over there. They have their own culture, their own reality. I mean, Roman Polanski. I'm not going to say any more than that.
Oh, hell yeah. Roman Polanski. Well, I mean, you know, I didn't watch the Golden Globes.
With Harrison Ford presenting it and everything. No, sorry. No, Harrison Ford was presenting on the Oscars. Meryl Streep was the first up to clap her hands for Roman Polanski. Has she actually disavowed him?
Not that I know of.
Okay, all right. So
I haven't heard Oprah maybe somebody could look this up. I don't know if Oprah has actually disavowed Harvey Weinstein either, at least not publicly anyway.
No, she hasn't. The little bit I've seen is that she's been actually very supportive of him. So, but the whole thing with Streep and, excuse me, the only thing about Streep and Weinstein is that, quote, everybody knew.
Okay, well, here's my take on those 18 photos. Sorry, I'll just throw this in.
Yeah, that's fine.
And this is also something that I pointed out to her. Pointed out to this woman of color on my thread on Facebook. That number of photos of them together. Okay, Oprah Winfrey, you have to dismiss, like, anybody who's reached that level of competence in the media industry is not stupid. You have that many photos together with Weinstein. That means that you have spent a considerable amount of time around Weinstein. That means you have seen him in action. You have heard reviews, and you have probably observed him interacting with a number of women over the years.
Mm-hmm.
So there's absolutely no way. I mean, even if she's not particularly good at reading people's body language. And of course, since we're talking Hollywood, rumors float around about stars and major producers all the time. So it's sort of like you have to kind of cut them a little bit of slack there. I mean, even knowing all that, I mean, there's no way that either she or somebody close to her didn't have this figured out about Harvey Weinstein.
Or at least somebody within her network of numerous contacts.
Yeah.
A contact or whatever, you know, however, second, third, fourth degree from Weinstein. Chances are Oprah knew. But she gets the money she wants. Weinstein gets the hushed up coverage he needs. And they're both fine. I can almost see it being a relationship of, Harvey, I have a new prospect for you. Toodaloo, have fun, goodbye. You know, and she hands her off, she walks away. Could she do that? Would she do that? I would hope she wouldn't.
See her doing that either, but you know,
if there's enough of a payoff, or if it helps advance her career, I'm sorry. At the end of the day, Oprah is no different than the Pope. Both are not infallible. They're both human beings. And they're both subjected to their own personal ambition.
That's true.
I'm going to leave it at that.
Well, here's something else that, I mean, she may not have necessarily been pimping for Harvey Weinstein.
All right, fair enough.
She could have chosen to do what a lot of people in Hollywood simply did. They were simply too busy, or they just, it didn't affect, because this has been my viewpoint up until a few years ago. They would have gone on with their day. As long as it didn't necessarily drop into their yard, they really didn't care.
Exactly. So it's a case of NIMBY. Not in my backyard.
As long as it's not in my yard, it's not my problem. I don't have to deal with it. If it comes into my yard, like if, for instance, if he had tried to move in on somebody that Oprah wanted, or if there had been, this is just a thought that just crossed my mind. There may have been some kind of, you will help me and I won't mention anything about your indiscretions.
Activities.
I won't get in your way. I won't help you, but I won't mention it either.
I won't hinder you. Yes.
Yeah.
And that's basically, I think, what I was trying to convey. Oh, Harvey, can I introduce you to? Okay, see you, kids. Bye. And she walks away.
Yeah.
Did that happen? I can't say it did. I can't say it didn't. Would I be surprised if it didn't happen? Sorry, would I be surprised if it did happen? No. Not at all.
No, I can't say no. I can't say I'd be surprised either.
I'm sorry, but like I said, with the extensive network that Oprah would have cultivated around her, because she is such a approachable person, she's the person that the average woman can relate to or would like to reach out to. Do you not think, can you not see that she would have hundreds of contacts within Hollywood that would basically have been saying the same thing?
Yep, so she knew. And here's the thing. If she's going to try to run for president in 2020, this is something that I pointed out to them. Pointed out to these two people. If she tries to run, she is going to have to explain the situation. And I pointed out to them, nobody currently in Hollywood, because it was Harvey Weinstein. Really, because I've talked to a couple people in Hollywood. Nobody in Hollywood has really escaped what happened without some type of mud sticking to them in one form or another.
All right. Yeah, no, fair enough.
You know, I the only one that, no, I can't, honestly, I can't think of when Brad Pitt had to go in and talk to George. I had to go in and talk to Harvey Weinstein when he was with Gwyneth Paltrow. I think George Clooney inadvertently had some sort of, I know Russell Crowe had to make a phone call. Think of either a single major actor or actress at this point that didn't have, at least in the film side, that didn't have either direct or indirect contact.
Yeah, at his peak, he was there. He was not just physically there in a blobbish form, but he was in a blobbish form. Well, sorry, let me take that back. He had his tendrils as thrown out, filtered out, extended out as possible. But I mean, correct me if I'm wrong. No, this is not an attack on him specifically, on his religion, but he's Jewish, right?
I believe, well, Weinstein, yeah, he's Jewish.
Okay, all right.
Maybe not practicing, so, but he's Jewish.
Okay, so, and that's fine. He's of the Hebrew faith. Okay, that's great. I don't care. But did we not have a talk a couple of years ago that part of the reason why Hollywood is going down is because they're looking at it from the business side of things rather than the creative side of things?
Oh, the whole, and this is going to have to be a topic for, we're going to have to do a whole hangout on this topic. The whole thing about formula films and not taking risks and going into franchise and doing franchises. And I mean, you know, it's Oscar season right now, so they're putting out all the best movies, the ones that are Oscar nominated, like Three Billboards Outside Ebbing and Molly's Game and that sort of thing. And they're all decent movies.
But they're not blockbusters, right?
But I mean, they're not, the Oscar movies are very rarely the blockbuster. I mean, occasionally you'll get one like Avatar or Titanic that'll just like be so big.
Or you finally get Lord of the Rings, but it's the Return of the King that finally gets it, not the Fellowship of the Ring or the Two Towers. What it was basically groundbreaking in the sense of it being, okay, this was beautifully researched, location perfect, relatively true, actually much more true to the script of the book. Rather than the, well, this is the direction that the, pardon me, I'll put on my pompous ass accent on this. We were just kind of thinking that we were going to go with a different, slightly different direction, and we're going to emphasize this point in the book rather than that point. You know, kind of that typical, well, bullshit.
Yeah.
Crap.
Which is what they did with Dark Tower. Got it. That was a... The person who produced The Dark Tower, the person who wrote the script for The Dark Tower, should never work in Hollywood again.
No, if he's a pedophile, chances are he will. Anyway.
Anyway.
Moving on.
Oprah in 2020. The moment Oprah steps out of her little echo chamber and she starts to find out that there's not only innate hostility to her outside of her, not outside of Hollywood, but even in the film industry that's outside of Hollywood, that it's also pretty tainted with political correctness in the film industry in general. Mm-hmm. But it's not to the point where it is in Hollywood.
All right. Well, fair enough.
So yeah, she's going to find out the hard way what happens when you try to get into politics. Now, hopefully, now maybe she'll be smart enough to realize that she's not the one to take. I don't think she could take Trump down. I mean, politics. I mean, Hollywood of tough and ugly and mean, but politics is a totally different game. I mean, there's some overlap there, and there's some stuff that
I have to interject here.
Hollywood and Washington have in common.
Okay, all right, no, but fair enough. Well, you know, okay, Hollywood is in bed with Washington. Washington is in bed with Hollywood. We'll leave that alone. That's basically a given.
Yeah,
I have to. I've said this before, or at least I've thought about this. I apologize if it wasn't here; it was somewhere else. At the end of the day, when it comes to a political leader, whether it is national, state/provincial, prefectural, or it's municipal, local, whoever is able to legitimately claim credit for boosting the economy is the most likely that it's going to be reelected. Because at the way that I see it, at the end of the day, a voter base won't care for what you do. They don't care for what you say. Sorry. They won't care for what you say. They won't care what you're going to aggrandize yourself over. At the end of the day, if I've been unemployed for a year, year and a half, I've been hitting the food banks, I've been on food stamps, whatever the case may be. If I can change from going from living on the government dole to being able to be employed again, who did it? That's the person I'm going to vote for. Mm-hmm. And at this point in time, Oprah will not be able to, she won't be able to run on anything in terms of the economy. The only economics she understands is how to make her empire grow. And again, you and I have disagreed about Trump. As far as I'm concerned, if we had that person north of the 49th, I'd be all over the guy. I didn't care for our current previous leader. And I sure as hell don't like our current one. Yeah, I know. We're not going to get into that. But at the end of the day, if Trump is able to deliver on more people, and apparently there were 2 million people, 2 million fewer people using food stamps, and if that number only decreases, she comes in, just like Schwarzenegger did in California. Should be all fluff. And no substance. She might be able to get herself closer to the presidency and only pay $1.4 billion into the presidential campaign reelection process, whatever. But if she doesn't have a substantial economic development plan, which I have to say, Obama had 8 years to turn the economy around, and that half black person, I'd use another word, but I can't. But if that half black person had 8 years to improve the economy, and he didn't, and his successor fell flat on her face because of a number of other different factors, pardon me, I've analyzed the whole situation to my ability. the Democrats have had plenty of time to actually stand and deliver. But all they've done is stand. What they've delivered, well, I would almost think it's called urine because they're peeing on everything else.
Yeah, well, here's the thing about 2020. Well, first of all, Oprah has to win the Democratic nomination because she's not going to win the Republican nomination. The other that if they try, because they tried this with Clinton. If you don't vote for Clinton, you're a sexist and a misogynist and blah 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 blah. And then it
racist and bigoted. Yes, I know. Okay.
So if they try to poll first of all, it'll become fairly obvious if she does try to run, and it'll become fairly obvious very early on if they're going to just try to play the race card and the woman card all the way. And if they try to do that in this current environment, because that's 2 years from now, it's looking, if things don't ignite this year, they're going to ignite early next year.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if they don't, if Democrats aren't able to capture the House. And what's going to happen is, you know, if they haven't, Democrats, the left, the progressive left anyway, hasn't learned its lesson, and they're just going to go, and if they're going to make the same mistake that they made in 2016 with Clinton, with Oprah, except they got the black card to play as well.
Yeah,
they're in for a rude shock because that's not going to work.
Yeah, well, between Candace Owens, and I have to say, she is a gorgeous, beautiful woman. My God.
Who?
Candace Owens.
Oh, yeah, Candace Owens. Yes, definitely.
She's
smart, too.
She's incredibly intelligent. And she knows how to play the game of how to keep herself from not getting caught, or at least not getting caught as easily. I watched her interview on the Rubin Report.
Oh, the one with Blair White?
No. Jeff Rubin? The guy that was with the Young Turks.
Oh, that one. Okay.
Yeah. So, her whole exposure, and I'm sure you're aware of this, but for those of you that are not listening to this, she got into Gamergate and Zoe Quinn and the whole bit, and the whole thing just kind of blew up, and she learned from her first experience of how to protect herself.
There was a fallout with Candace Owens in terms of her social autopsy site now. And we're kind of getting off topic here. We're going to have to move on because we've been talking about Oprah for half an hour on and off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Moving on.
She got into trouble with several people, former allies, over her.
Yeah, and then she
over her social autopsy. And for me, it was okay. She shut it down. That was okay for me. With guys like David Cullen and Worski and a few others, it wasn't. And I will get into something that I saw. A new video I put up by Sargon Akkad today or yesterday. Yeah. But that will be for the end of the show. We need to move on to the next topic here. Oprah Winfrey was actually number three. AIDS is fake.
All right. What I have to say about listening to Sweet Peaches, whatever the hell her moniker is, I don't think that she's a fine line between being cognitive and just being pushed over that edge. There are enough things that I listen to sick and I have to agree. I mean, when you're vlogging and you're driving, I'm sorry. No, you're either driving or you're at home and you're vlogging. That's all there is to it. So the very basis of how she conducts herself socially, I strongly disagree with. In terms of, no one's been able to pinpoint exactly where HIV, AIDS, whatever, wherever this virus came from. I remember reading.
Okay.
God. I think. Okay. Let's go back. Okay. Go ahead.
I know a little bit more about this. Laurie Garrett wrote a book back in the 90s. It's called The Coming Plague. Now, there is an HIV virus. There is a simian HIV virus. Mm-hmm. Best guess is that some point, because it started out in the 70s, so some point in the earlier mid-70s, the virus mutated and suddenly was able to infect humans.
Okay, fair enough.
That's the going theory. I've also heard the conspiracy theory that it was a virus. Well, let's not speculate as to the fact that it got spread sexually from, it was an STD originally in apes and it started out as an STD in humans. So let's not even go there with somebody's bestiality. That's the most common popular theory, although it's never been scientifically proven.
Okay. I remember, and I think this goes back to when you and I were living in the same relative proximity. And I think this was in the COVID wave. Is that there was a medical researcher that went back. I don't recall how far back, but I think it was kind of in the early 20th century, or at least the first quartile of the first half of the 20th century. There was a guy from Africa that seemed to have exhibited the same symptoms of being infected with what is now referred to as HIV for being back then. And it could have been something as strange or odd as what is called bushmeat. So, look at that. There's a baboon or a chimp or whatever. I'm hungry. Pop. Shoots the chimp, shoots the primate, grabs it, cooks it, roasts it, whatever, to a certain point, and then consumes it. That could also be actually a point of transmission, where it went from primate into...
Stop being enough attention!
No. I am being enough attention. Now, can I confirm...
Oh, sorry. That's okay. Hosting up the links to the YouTube channels. I'm tempted to play Sunny Peach's video, and we can just stop and comment as needed.
Nope.
Don't want to do that because we can just make and have the audio. That would be about it.
Okay. I would say post that afterwards and place kind of as a Sargon of Akkad ish. Basically, turn this woman apart. Basically, some of the points that she does raise, I can't disagree with. What a vaccine is supposed to do, and this is what Sick talks about, what a vaccine is supposed to do, I agree with. The components with that virus or that vaccine, I can't completely agree with. I mean, hell, I remember reading or watching when I still had TV, and they're talking about vaccinations. And kids that were inoculated still ended up getting sick with whatever it was. Not saying it was meningitis, but like the local flu bug or whatever. Oh, and by the way, when she's talking about, when she does go off on her little tangent about creating future customers for doctors, currently at best, I'm not a complete vaxxer, but I'm not a complete someone who's going to completely disavow the movement. But we are spending close to $1 billion per state, prefecture, province, whatever, You're investing money, in essence, into a gamble for something that should hopefully protect your populace. The current vaccines that are out there have, at best, a 40% chance of success that it's going to be that specific virus that was injected into 1 million eggs, chicken eggs, and we extracted a, she's not wrong. She's not right, but she's not wrong. And that's the perspective that I come from.
Okay. My perspective, I've three times in the past 18 months, I've had the flu.
Okay.
I got sick. I've gotten sick more times, probably because I'm getting older. I've gotten sick more times with the flu.
Mm-hmm.
In the last one I had was so bad that I almost ended up in the hospital.
Oh wow!
Okay. I've been avoiding. Yeah. Oh yeah. I'm actually sitting here in my kitchen right now, and I can remember coming out here just to get a glass of water, and I passed out, and I passed out for about 15, 20 minutes on the floor of the kitchen. And I actually chipped a tooth when I passed out. Only reason I didn't go to the hospital is because I was too sick to get my clothes on and go. I was always a firm believer in eating properly and eating to boost your immune system as opposed to vaccinations. But I am leaning more towards getting vaccinations now that I'm getting older. Cause like, I mean, I really, at this point, I mean, I cannot afford to be losing 2 weeks of work because of a flu again.
Well, I remember the last time that I was at work and I left because I was just, the site manager looked at me and said, "How are you doing?" I said, "Oh, I'm okay." He's like, "Are you sure?" I'm like, "Well, no, not really." And I told him that, you know, I'm probably going to leave. He said, "Well, if you're going to leave, let the supervisor know." And I said, "Okay, no problem." And it was about 2 or 3 hours into my shift, and I just went, "Jeff, I'm sorry, man. I got to go. I can't do it." And I think I was going into my weekend, which wasn't as bad, but it was bad enough. And then there was a period of time that, actually it was during that time, I was sick as a dog. But because I'm the only breadwinner in my home, I had to go into work. I had to suck it up, tough it up, shall we say, be a man. God forbid. And I went. And I did get better. But I wonder how many people I actually infected as well, too. But that's the nature of the game.
Yeah.
I mean, if you are the only person to bring in your income, you have to go in and do what you have to do.
Well, in my particular case, I was lucky. I didn't have to worry about infecting anybody else because I had to get into a car and drive 2 hours to White Court and back. And I was out at a construction site by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Off the road, so I could get there, turn the heater on in the car, and just basically sleep for the entire shift, except for my check-ins.
All right, fair enough.
But yeah, it was like, here's the other thing about vaccinations.
Mm-hmm.
This is a personal opinion because I mean, it's like, it's one thing, there's the anti-vaxxers, right? Vaccines are not something that you try to cut corners on to save money.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't do that. It's not only is it unhealthy and a huge safety risk, but it also gives the anti-vaxxers the fuel that they need to do it. Right. But getting into vaccines, I mean, there's the other stuff too, like seat belts don't save lives, which is just crap. The earth is not flat.
Okay. That one we can prove beyond a shadow of a doubt that the earth is not flat. The earth is indeed flat. Her thinking is flat. Maybe her chest is flat. I don't know. And I have to agree with Sick as a thing. You know, that woman kind of strikes me as like she's kind of driving, talking like she's drunk. And that's fine too. But I don't know the first thing about Sis. I'm not going to try to know, nor really try to care to know.
Well, I don't have a kid, so I really wouldn't know. I know some people that it's happened to.
I have a
it appears that it stops breathing. That's what I know. Yeah.
And it's within a year. Well, it's supposed to be, I would say, within 6 months, if not earlier than that.
The only other thing I've noticed about known about SIDS is that it tends to happen within a few months of the parents moving to another city. For whatever reason.
Okay. All right. So looking at it from the infant's perspective, they're coming into accustomed to the new environment because, well, let's face it, we all came out of our mom. And what happened to our mom? Well, we were swimming. We were blind. It was dark. It was warm. And it was very wet. You and I, and everybody else listening to this podcast, we were extracted. Whether we were pushed out naturally or we were taken out by surgical removal, doesn't matter. And we were born into this great big, dry, cold place. I can't remember where I was going to go with this, but anyway. Oh, getting back to my son. So I've got a very healthy 8.5-year-old boy. And when he came into the world, they had to do an epidural on my wife. She had a C-section. And when they finally took him out, he screamed, he hollered. But after about 2 minutes, he was wrapped up, swaddled, and I mean tightly swaddled. And he calmed down, and he just kind of looked around. He said, I think he was just like, okay, where am I? What's this? Now I'm dealing with my son, who's kind of a pain in the ass for myself, but I love him all the same. And I wouldn't have it any other way. I've been reluctant about vaccinations, but at the end of the day, much like any red pill male, happy wife, happy life. All right, fine. We'll deal with it. But I think my son's strength is that he has a mix of genomes. Where my wife is Far East Asian, I'm Slavic. And I think that has helped provide him with more of a defense than I may not give any sort of credit for. Anyway, getting back to the topic.
Yeah, I think we pretty much covered it. I mean, there's a few of them on YouTube that are like this. We could literally do hangouts like tearing down these videos that we could like literally go for eternity just doing that. I don't really think we really want to do much more on Peaches.
Okay, we'll leave her alone.
Yeah, all right. So topic number, okay, wait, hold on a second, now it has to boot up again. Topic number, George Cicarillo. Oh, Mr. All I Want for Christmas is White Genocide, even though he's a white guy himself.
Okay.
Drexel Professor, yeah.
Okay, I've got no problem with this guy. As long as he is the first person in line to say white genocide, yeah, I'm all for it. And I will be the first person to take a bullet. As long as he will profess it, he will be the first person to line up and to die for this idea. I'm okay with it. Now, for those of you that don't know, I'm basically Germanic and Slavic blood. I don't know exactly what I am. I don't know where I'm from. And at the end of the day, I don't really care because I am me, and I'm not going to allow what I think is my ancestry to dictate the person that I am. This guy is a typical libtard twit. And whatever a twit is, and I've heard it's like a baby goldfish or whatever, this guy makes a baby goldfish seem fucking smart. I have no time for
Here's a
smart
quote
people.
from Wayne. Some ideas are so stupid and ludicrous that only an academic would approve them. It's sort of like completely
Asinine.
like, I mean, I ran into a guy like this on a male feminist like this one time. I was like, yeah, being sent to jail, and that's compensation for all the men that got away with rape. And it's sort of like, okay. If you're so keen on men going to jail for crimes that other men committed, why don't you go to jail?
At the
The same
normal.
sort of thing. And so, but what really got me about this guy is that he's like, he goes out and he posts this up. He's white, and then for some strange reason, other whites get pissed at him, and somehow getting angry at him makes everybody else around him a white, all the whites that are attacking him, they make him a white, that makes them white supremacists. Well, it's literally what that woman of color did with Oprah. I mean, she basically accused me of being a racist and a misogynist. And I was like, well, you know what? Disagreeing with a black person doesn't make me racist. Disagreeing with a woman doesn't give me make me a misogynist. Same thing here.
Or either combination thereof. Yeah, I get what you're saying.
And he, it's, I mean, you have to be the level of dissonance that this guy must have, either that or his wife is his girlfriend has basically has taken his balls and sliced them off and put them in a jar somewhere. But I mean, the level.
Actually, funny enough, I was watching a video of Sophie Trudeau sitting down, listening to her husband and Trump at the same time. Now, the guy admits that he's narrating this video. Yeah, this is still kind of new for me and whatever else. But Sophie seems to be more responsive to listening to Trump, and she has to listen to her husband. Now, being a married man, I can kind of think my wife is kind of the same thing with towards me. She'll pay token interest and she'll listen, but at some point she's like, oh shit, there he goes again. So I imagine with this professor, sorry, assistant professor. Actually, we should find out. Okay, I'm not on Twitter very much, but let me ask you to do this for me. Find out how much reference this guy has to soy milk. Is he a soy
Okay,
boy?
let me just go through. I've actually got his Twitter profile up right now, because
Yeah,
I was
that's
dying.
fine. Let's
All
find
right,
out.
let's see. We'll go right up from the top. I've actually posted his I posted his link to his profile in the chat section. If anybody, we don't have anybody following anyway. Oh, here we go. George Cicarella, in fighting white supremacy is not a crime. January 10th and 11th. That's his first thing. Supporters,
Oh,
letters
wait.
and.
Actually, hold on. Let me just take a look at his name here, too. He sounds pretty Hispanic, doesn't he?
Chicarella, I could all he could also be Italian,
Okay, hold on.
How the right weaponized free speech. Here's here, this one just absolutely from the chronicle.com. I'm like left from doing exactly the same thing. It's like they're playing with the same rule book we are.
All right,
Actually,
fair
I'm not even
enough.
right wing anyway, but it's let's just go. Let's just keep going here. Political correctness has run amok on the right. Well, what I can, this is from January 7th. What I can tell you from this particular perspective is that, yeah. And again, well, we'll cover this next week when we do Sargon's video that he just done a couple of days, either today or a couple of days ago. The our side of the line has realized that we're going to have to start communicating and coordinating our strategy. Up until now, the regressives' own stupidity has been their biggest weapon, but they got organized last year and started fighting back in an organized fashion, whereas we're still a bunch of fighting in disorganized units, and some of us are doing better than others. Yeah, but yeah, so there's a mindset on our side of the line. We're not the left. We're not the right, but it's but yeah, it's like, yeah, they're starting to get some organization on our side.
Yeah. Personally, I try to be more centrist and moving left to right as I have to, but we'll leave that alone.
All right, and there's Dave from City People's White Genocide. I don't see anything referencing to soy. Build, oh, a communist book, Building the Commune. Oh, wow.
So if he's going in that direction, guess what? He's not too far away from.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a complete, yeah, he's a complete fucking cuck. There's no reference to soy anywhere.
But I don't think we would be surprised if he had soy milk in his coffee every fucking day.
It wouldn't be a shock.
All right.
That whole thing with soy, is, I mean, I think it's more of a trendy, this is what everybody else is eating, so I'm going to eat it too, type of a situation. More than. Although, again, right, the use soy therapy in women because there's female hormone.
It's photoestrogen.
Soy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I want to ask you this. Would you be interested to see myself go through, well, the phases of trying to increase my testosterone? Being younger than you are, but also basically middle-aged, and then swinging into a soyish milk diet and to see how that affects everything about me as well, being male.
How long would you be doing it for? A month?
No, I'm thinking about 3 to 4, maybe 6 months.
You'd have to keep a careful diary of any reactions, like how are you reacting emotionally, and
what I want to see. I want to see from, okay, I'm looking at it from an outside perspective. So not only have I been thinking about doing this in terms of my own biochemical, hormonal fluctuations, levels, whatever, and I'm going to be looking at some exercise regimes and dietary changes and whatever else. But I'm also be curious to see how you or other people, if they can get into the podcast, will be to judge me over the course of, and these are observations that I would like you to keep to yourself for 2, 3, 4 weeks, if not more at a time. So I would maybe go through the soy milk. And then when I've had enough of that, say for about 2 months, pull myself out, and I'm going to go for a more masculine testosterone-based diet, and then kind of peter out to where I would go back to what I was before.
Yeah, it sounds like something you might want to do. I mean, me personally, I am looking to put more testosterone into my system at this point.
Okay. Okay, fair enough.
That's just me, though.
Okay, but I'm looking at it from going swinging for, shall we say, for the more female side of things to the male side of things, and to try to find some sort of balance and see how I am as well.
That would be an interesting experiment. If you want to do it, let me know. I could definitely keep an eye on things.
Okay.
Here's the really, and this is something that I think I cover. By the way, my guess is for 2018 blog is done. It's posted up. I haven't done the run with it yet, but it's posted up.
Oh, and I want to get into Al Franken's infamous picture now.
Oh yes, I have all sorts of observations about that one. I can't. Yeah. It was Leanne Tweeden who supposedly got groped.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. I have to say, I've got to say this. I don't care for Al Franken because I'm more right leaning than I ever have been in my life. I mean, I consider the man to be the man's an idiot. I mean, he believes in what he was part of, he wanted to represent, and everything else. I can accept it. I don't like it, but I can accept it. I'm looking at that picture where she's basically passed out and his hands are, quote, on her tits. I'm sorry. I'm looking at the angle of the flash, the light, and everything else. His hands are probably about, what, 1, maybe 2 inches above her boobs? That's it. If you look at the shadows that show up on her camo vest or her Kevlar vest, whatever it is that she's wearing while she's sleeping, he's not touching her. Am I right?
Yeah, you're right. Here's the thing about Leanne Tweeden.
Mm-hmm.
From what I've been able to dig up about her. First of all, somebody posted up a video. I haven't been able to find it, but there's a video of Leanne Tweeden being very, very racy on stage with some guy. This is a few years ago.
In what sense?
Rubbing her crotch up against the guy, basically being really sexual on stage. She had her clothes on, but
she was twerking, basically.
Pretty much, yeah. She certainly, and well, she's a former Playboy playmate, so she doesn't have any problem taking her clothes off, right? I mean, this is a woman who knows.
Or doing anything else.
This is a woman who knows how to use her body and her sexuality to get her own way from men.
All right.
Now, I'm not gonna go into the victim blaming here, because there's probably gonna be some feminist or some fucking progressive males that can be, you're victim blaming. You're victim blaming. Okay, oh, you're victim blaming. And it's like,
okay, well, all right. It's Gollum. Kate Gollum, focus. Yeah.
And he, but yeah, at any other time, I don't think this would have gone anywhere. I mean, Leanne Tweeden got a little bit offended about it, and she said some stuff about Al Franken. And the only problem is that from what I've been able to put together about Leanne Tweeden, she is not, well, she's innocent. She's not innocent, and she's in her 30s. And here's the thing. She's not married. She's living with a guy, but she's not married. She has no kids. So, I mean, basically, she's a career woman who's starting to get up there.
All right, so basically she's had, what, 20-some-odd years to understand, well, if I do this, 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 I can get A, B, C, D, or E from guys. She knows.
Sorry, how I'm to doing play, it.
She knows how to play the sex card, basically.
Hold on a second. I'm Googling her right now.
Girlfriend's rules list. For her boyfriend's Christmas gift goes viral.
Oh, you got her before I did, huh? The computer is dead slow, so.
I don't believe that alone. Like I said, get a Okay, the solid-state hard drive. Max out the RAM in your computer, and then also get a... Does your computer have a USB 3 or is it USB 2?
I think it's 2.
All right, well, you're stuck then.
Okay.
If you're going to invest any money in your computer, consider a solid-state hard drive. It's going to be expensive. Look at a 250-gig drive. But a 500 is going to be more expensive. But, you know, consider something like that, and it might actually improve the performance of your machine.
Okay, yeah, she's 44, so she's definitely getting up there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically she's had 25 years. To understand, well, if I strut this way, or if I do this, or do this, or do this, they're going to basically do whatever I want. This woman is no saint. In any way, shape, or form.
Oh, no,
But that pic of Al Franken groping her in that picture, I'm sorry, I don't care for the man, but he's innocent. Based on the degree of shadow, he's not touching her. He's going through the motions of groping her. He's going through motions of, you know, grabbing her tits or whatever. But he didn't do it.
No, he didn't.
And but again... And you know how more conservative leaning I am.
Yeah, I do.
And I remember our conversation way back when we were talking about Paris Hilton. The lighting, the angle, the whole bit. She knew what she was doing.
Oh no, that porn video was about as spontaneous as a film set.
Casting couch audition.
Yeah, well, Mark Solomon, the guy in that video, I mean, he's got a note to him. He also did, I think he did the same thing with Pamela Anderson at some point.
All right. Well,
Yeah, well, it's like sort of like, yeah, he...
Okay. Well, regardless, Franken knew what he was doing. And as I said before, I don't agree with him because I'm not... If they had the Republican and Democrat labels north of the 49th, now I'd be voting Republican. And I wouldn't be voting for this guy unless he actually had something substantial to prove to me that he was real. But I looked at his picture and I just thought to myself, no, this is... He's stepping down for the wrong reason. No, if he actually did abuse his position of power, okay, fine. I'm open to the idea for him stepping down because, well, he's going to be a bit of a douchebag. But based on this picture alone of him groping whatever the fuck her name is,
Leanne Tweeden.
From what I see, he's not touching her. Based on the amount of shadow that is below, shall we say, his hands and his arms. And I'm not a technician. I don't analyze these sorts of things day in and day out. But I can clearly see a disconnect to what the media is doing to skewer this guy to what was actually done. Now, granted, of course, he's also a comedian. So he's probably doing this for, you know, he and his brother thought this was going to be funny. I'm going to play with their boobs and whatever else. But in that picture, it didn't happen. So to me, that is a nothing burger. And in terms of his actual senator, he was a senator, right?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, he was.
Well, yeah, here's the thing. Yeah, it doesn't matter at this point whether, because we covered this before on the CPR issue. It doesn't matter if, like, for instance, if you actually did or didn't do it. It's the perception. And again, no, I also did. I did a video. It's actually up at my site. It's called "The Spaces in Between," where I point out that in a lot of cases, I discussed this when Davis Rooney was on 2 weeks ago, where the individuals we're dealing with function in that space where people don't fact check.
All right, fair enough.
They just say it and they hope you don't notice. They're counting on you to not notice. They're just counting on you to accept what they're going to say. You know, they're counting on the person that's either too lazy, too indoctrinated, or too stupid, or just too tired. It doesn't want to do the thinking at that particular moment. You just want them to just accept what they're being told.
Yeah.
You know, and you have to actually make, and this actually comes from Noam Chomsky's Manufacturing Consent.
That was from the CBC, if I remember right.
Yeah, well, there's the movie, but there's also the book. That's, you know, you're tired. You did an 8-hour day. If you've got a wife and kids, you come home, you got to deal with the wife and the kids, and you need, because it's a guy thing, you need that compression time. Like, for instance, when I come home from work, I very rarely head straight for bed, even when I'm dead tired. Like, there's always at least half an hour. There's at least half an hour of compressed decompression time before I actually go to bed. And when you're in that state, you just want to, for a guy, it's different for women, but with a guy, he just wants to chill. He doesn't want to do a whole lot of, when I'm in that state, I don't want to do a whole lot of thinking. You know, I just want to decompress and recharge for whatever else I have to do that day.
Yeah.
And it's that particular time that the news comes on. And you just want to look at the news. You don't want to have to, especially back before the internet, you didn't want to have, in order to get correct information, you had to get in your car and drive down to the library to get the information. And it's a little bit easier now. You know, you can go online. Which is part of this new information revolution. Again, this comes from the Roosh V, one of the Roosh V podcasts. But we're basically in more or less we're in an information revolution right now. It's basically the Gutenberg press times about 100.
Yeah,
and the establishment still hasn't caught when they're talking about this period. They're going to be talking about how virtually every establishment got shaken to its foundations because it didn't dawn on them that information is now freely available at the touch of a button. All somebody has to do is go over and look. You can't dumb people down as much by just putting something on TV and hoping that they don't fact check nearly as much anymore. And even if that person is in that state, there's getting to be more and more people like you and I who do know, who will tell them. And they can choose to think. You can talk about going back to that thread about Oprah Winfrey yesterday, you know, you are going to get people that are just not going to listen.
Yes.
Or not going to get it, or like that one woman a few weeks ago who literally stopped me from stopped receiving messages altogether rather than hear the truth. But for the most part, most of the people out on the street, and working out at the gym tonight, I heard two people were talking about it. And then while they were talking in the gym, they were accessing their phone. They were accessing facts on their phones while they were having this political discussion. These were people that were pretty much, based on what I hear, they're pretty close to where we are.
So basically center left or center right.
Yeah. And,
all right,
you know, it, you know, they're the, I could say the information revolution. I mean, that's the thing. I mean, Al, whoever took that photo of Al Franken also had motivations for doing that.
Yeah.
His bank account is probably a lot larger now for it, I'm guessing.
All right. Well, I think we've exhausted as much as we can tonight.
Yeah, the only thing left is Steve Bannon, and I'm not. We can push that. That's a topic we can push till next week, right?
Well, I'm gonna say, from what I've seen, and that comes down to is that Steve Pachenik was saying months before all of this is that he was on his way out. Unfortunately, and he only talks on InfoWars, so take that with a grain or a ton or whatever of salt. But he didn't have a positive feeling about him. And, I guess fortunately or unfortunately, however you want to look at it, he ended up being proven right. And now that he's stepped down from Breitbart, and the simple fact that he never apologized for anything that was said only seems to add to his being guilty, if that is what can be said.
Okay. Well, I don't know that much about Steve Bannon. Yeah. The only thing I ever followed Breitbart for was when they had Milo Yiannopoulos on there. I will occasionally go to their... I will say this about Breitbart. They are really good at holding the regressive left's feet to the fire. They're much better than Fox at doing that.
Yeah, fair enough.
But, I mean, other than that, I really don't pay too much. Because, again, Breitbart is like, it's not as bad as, say the Blaze or Fox. But, I mean, they get a – and this is going to be an issue – When we finish discussing, this is going to be an issue that is going to have to be worked out. In like, there's going to have to be some type of truce declared between the varying factions on our side of the line on this, because we've got guys like, say, Cernovich and Paul Joseph Watson who spend their time slamming liberals on their broadcasts, completely unaware of the fact that there's a massive number of people on the left that are just as appalled by the regressives as they are.
Yeah.
You know, and, you know, this is not, strictly speaking.
All right. Well, why don't we look at.
Am I coming through?
Yeah, your computer is a little bit iffy at times.
I see something. Yeah. What you're seeing here. It's what you're seeing here is you're basically seeing it. Well, I mean, it got shown a few years. I quoted this again from my blog 2018 when Anita Sarkeesian did. Oh, by the way, Anita Sarkeesian is coming to Edmonton, by the way. Just an FYI on that. Yeah. Getting back to the original point when, yes, the Anita Sarkeesian. Yes, you can say the C word. I don't have that as negative of opinion as some of the people here in Edmonton do. There's some people in politically incorrect Edmonton who wanted to show up on T-shirts and just like make a spectacle about it. And if they're up for that, I'll bring a camera along. I'll record it. I'll put it up on YouTube. I got no problem doing that. I won't be wearing a T-shirt myself. But I will certainly happily record it and put it up on YouTube for everyone to look at. We've got Karen Strawn in town too. We might just throw out there, and maybe we can get Karen Strawn to show up at Anita's event and see what that happens there. That's just speculation at this point. Karen Strawn might not want to go along with it. That's fine. But yeah, getting back to the original point, when Anita Sarkeesian did that Nightline video, unlike the Colbert Report, where Colbert basically handed his balls over to Anita Sarkeesian and didn't allow comments or ratings, Nightline allowed it, and they tried to censor him. I mean, what they couldn't do, though, is that they couldn't prevent people from voting up or down on the video. And what it turns out was is that, I mean, the downvotes to the upvotes, the ratio was like 35 to 1.
Yeah.
And the ratio was so skewed against the video in our favor that they couldn't even pull the, it was just a bunch of sock puppet accounts, because the ratio was so bad that, I mean, the numbers that they were proposing were using sock puppet accounts. Each of the people who was using a sock puppet account would have had to have used 35 to 40 sock puppet accounts, up to 200 sock puppet accounts. So that just didn't hold any water.
That's
hilarious. And it was right after that, that's when, because around that time too, what ended up happening is that the Nina Sarkeesian had just gotten, and Jonathan McIntosh, they just gotten a huge financial boost from Intel, and there were people on the Gamergate side that were practically ready to throw in the towel. It was like, that's it, we're screwed, we're doomed, we can't fight back against that kind of money. And they didn't need to, because they screwed up. And here's that, this is the issue that's, and this is where I'm going, this is where I'm going to trail off for tonight. Sargon of Akkad did a video where, you know, because he did a debate with Richard Spencer. Richard Spencer laid something on him, and this is something that was a little bit of a surprise, because I thought Sargon already knew this, but apparently he didn't.
Okay.
You know, like, anybody who's going to organize anything on this side, like, pretty much you have to include Sargon of Akkad in the plans, which means that he's a figurehead of sorts. And it only dawned on him a couple of days ago that he's a figurehead. I thought he already knew this. Okay. So I will get into more detail about it next week.
All right.
But, you know, it's dawned on Sargon that there needs to be, and this is part of the thing with Kilroy, although Kilroy is hanging on by a thread right now, that there needs to be the content, the YouTube content creators and the deplorables that we all need to get together in one room and coordinate some kind of a strategy. And that's, I will go into more detail about that next week. But for now, that's it. And I am pretty much done. We can do a little bit more on Bannon maybe next week.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you have any closing comments up there, Paul?
Honestly, nothing that really comes to mind. I've said that I've needed to be said. I'm personally just keeping track of overall trends, either through Breitbart or InfoWars or Daily Caller or whatever else, and trying to keep a relatively open mind. I wish that we were more sensible than our sensibilities, but I've heard that before somewhere and I just can't remember where, and I'm going to leave it at that.
Okay, so to everybody who is going to be watching this that's at the beginning of 2018, I hope you're enjoying the silence. The only thing I've mentioned so far this year has been the Oprah Winfrey for 2020 event. The others, maybe the Steve Bannon, but we'll get more into that next week. But again, it's going to stay relatively quiet like this for a while. I still don't have Maker support up. Hopefully, if I get up early enough this in the morning, I'll be able to get it set up. But I'm going to do my damnedest to get it up soon, because I can't keep doing this for free. If you didn't see the video that I posted earlier announcing my situation, the aim here is one blog, one video a week from this point forward, plus the YouTube Hangouts, plus if I get my other channel going, that's going to be... It between that and the program and hitting the gym and a couple of other things, it's going to be a very busy but an exciting year for me. Hopefully I will have Maker support up soon, And for those of you who are watching this, like, subscribe, and I will talk to you later. Paul, anything? Okay, then we're done. Everybody, wherever you're watching, Happy New Year, and I will see you on the next go-round.